The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As I meditate on Advent, on this season that we're beginning today, and during which the Church invites us to prepare for the coming of Christ, I keep finding myself returning to an ancient Aramaic prayer that was fervently prayed by the first generation of Christians. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Now, these first Christians lived in the imminent expectation of the return of Jesus Christ in glory, and they expected that their world would end at any moment. And so this prayer, Maranatha, expressed their deepest hope. Their deepest hope, which was that the world would end and that the Lord would not delay in fulfilling his promise to return, so that in the words of St. Paul, all might be all in Christ. Now, I have to say, particularly in the light of today's gospel, that I think it's challenging for us to pray for the end of everything that we know, everything that we understand, to pray for an end of time and space, and to pray for the final judgment of Christ. I'm not sure that that is, in truth, our most fervent prayer during Advent. It might be more like trying to find a parking place or something like that, but I don't think it's for the end of the world. Now, this is a very ancient prayer, and this desire to encounter Christ, to have Christ come into our lives, is a sentiment that I think that we can all enter into. But I think there's a modern Christian, Dorothy Day, who I think perhaps may be able to teach us what it means to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," with fervor and authenticity in our own indeterminate time between the first coming of Jesus as a baby and the second coming of Jesus in power and glory at the end of time. I mention Dorothy Day because today is the 29th anniversary of her death. Dorothy Day, along with Peter Maurin, began the Catholic worker movement in 1932 with the first founding of a house of hospitality in New York City. The alternate opening prayer for this morning's Mass could describe the mission, I think, of the Catholic worker as articulated by Dorothy Day. This prayer goes, "All-powerful God, increase our strength of will for doing good." In other words, be generous. "That Christ may find an eager welcome at his coming." In other words, be hospitable. "And call us to his side in the kingdom of heaven." In other words, be forgiving and be peacemakers, which is what the kingdom of heaven is both the vision of and the goal of. Dorothy Day's key spiritual insight as a modern Christian was to recognize in the persons of the poor, of the homeless, of the mentally ill, of the unemployed, and of people of different races and ethnicities and religions, the advent, that is, the coming of Christ into each person's life. For Dorothy Day sought to eagerly welcome and make welcome Christ in all of his guises. And the Catholic worker movement was a call to live generously, to live hospitably, and to make peace through reconciliation and nonviolence. She wrote this in her autobiography, The Long Loneliness. She said, "We cannot love God unless we love each other. And to love, we must know each other. We know him in the breaking of bread, and we know each other in the breaking of bread. And we are not alone anymore. Heaven is a banquet, and life is a banquet too, even with a crust of bread, where there is companionship." We have all known the long loneliness, and we have learned that the only solution is love, and that love comes with community. In our gospel, Jesus admonishes us to be vigilant, to pay attention, to not drowse off, to not be overwhelmed by anxieties, so as not to overlook his coming in power and great glory. Not only his coming in power and great glory at the end of time, but his coming in power and great glory in the person of our neighbor. It is easy to become inattentive and to miss the reality hidden within each person, the reality that each one of us is a son or a daughter of a God who made us in his image and likeness. Contained within each person, if we look with those eyes of faith that Christ is calling us to, contained with each person, we can see the glory of God. And Advent is the time for us to sharpen our senses so as to recognize Christ in each other. Now, I have to say, it's easy to be cynical about the hype and the commercialism of the Christmas season, which I think has almost completely swallowed up Advent in our society. As soon as we leave this church, we're going to, Christmas has already happened as far as society is concerned. But I still think that there are authentic acts of preparation in our society, and not only in the confines of our Catholic Church. There's still authentic acts of preparation for the coming of Christ that we shouldn't overlook and we shouldn't dismiss. First, observe that as a society, we do become more generous to the poor and the unfortunate during the season of Advent. Now, I don't think this is hypocrisy. People will say, well, we should be doing this all year round. Well, of course we should. But I think that the reason this happens during Advent is because we're drawing as a society on some deeply Christian sentiments and insights. We know, I think, in a way that many people might have trouble articulating, but are nonetheless real for it, that the measure of our love of God is our love for our neighbor, and especially our love for the poor. By being generous to the poor, not only Christians, but people of goodwill in our society want to make a place in their lives for Jesus, or for what Jesus has come to represent for them in their lives. Secondly, observe too that as a society, we are more hospitable during the 4 weeks of Advent. For a few short weeks, everyone is welcome at our table. We know each other, as Dorothy Day said, in the breaking of bread, however secular that occasion might be, and we're no longer alone. What did Jesus come to save us from? Well, from the long loneliness of sin, of alienation, of separation, and ultimately of death. in that fellowship that we experience during Advent, that's been turned into the Christmas season in our society, Christ, it seems to me, is calling us to his side, is inviting us to experience a foretaste of fellowship in the kingdom of heaven, a foretaste that our friends and neighbors who may not share our faith are longing for and yearning for too. Thirdly, observe this. We are more forgiving during Advent as we prepare for Christmas as a society. That is to say, for a few weeks, forgiveness and reconciliation in this harsh and often hard-hearted world come out into the open. I think this reflects our deep yearning for lives and for a world that's healed of divisions and of hatred. It reflects our deep longing and yearning for peace and an end to violence between individuals and societies and countries. In Advent, Jesus, who is the generosity, the hospitality, and the peace and forgiveness of God, comes near to us when we are generous, when we are hospitable, when we are forgiving and make peace. This, I think, is why we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." So during this Advent, I want this ancient Christian Advent prayer, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus," to become my prayer too. Come, Lord Jesus, so that during this Advent I might pardon those who have injured me, and I might seek the pardon of those that I've injured, so that you may save me from the long loneliness of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. Come, Lord Jesus, so that during this Advent I might see your power and your great glory in all of my neighbors, and give him or her what is needed for their bodily or their spiritual well-being. Come, Lord Jesus, so that in this Eucharist and at my table in my home, I might welcome you, the incarnate Lord. Come, Lord Jesus.